Today we're continuing our journey through the Gospel of John, and we find ourselves kind of turning the corner into chapter 16. We need to remind ourselves the setting of Jesus is in an intimate setting of teaching and training his disciples. And at that point, at one point just recently in the previous chapter, Jesus then got up and departed and began to teach them as they walked by a vineyard possibly, and he started to express to him that I am the true vine, and to us that Jesus is the true vine, and that we are the branches, and branches are pruned to bear more fruit. And he's preparing these disciples for one of the most traumatic events that they're ever going to have to go through. Watching their friend, their leader, their master, their savior, nailed to the cross. Seeing the brutality of the hatred that existed against Christ. And as Christ continues to walk with his disciples, in the midst of his departure, preparing his disciples, those 11 remaining, for the ministry that God has called him to, Jesus makes the fourth promise of the Holy Spirit and the provision that God has made and gone before them. And I think that's so encouraging, isn't it? That in the midst of difficult times, in the midst of transition, in the midst of tragedy, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God has made provision, not only for his disciples, but he has made provision for every believer in Christ who calls on the name of Jesus for the salvation of their soul. So would you join me, please, in standing as we read God's holy word? We're going to be reading John chapter 16, verses 1 through 15, reading in Christ's name. Jesus is speaking, "I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Lord, we thank you for this text, and I thank you for this reminder, Jesus, that you'll never leave us. You never forsake us. That you are always with us through the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray that as we look at this text, that you would open our hearts and teach us and train us, mold us into the people that you long for us to become. I thank and I pray all these things in Christ's precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I have my sermon in front of me. But I need to talk to you guys. The reason that I'm choking up is that God has made it clear to me and my family that we are called to St. Michael, Minnesota. It's been one of the most difficult things I've ever had to walk through. I hope you know how much I love this place. And if I may be so honest and open, if it were up to me alone, I would not go. But I said that once before when God asked me to be a pastor. I remember when he called me to be a pastor, I said, no way. No thanks. But God was gentle and he was persistent with me. And I'm glad that I was obedient, because I wouldn't know the privilege and the blessing of being your pastor. Understand that as we look at this text, the disciples were in a far worse situation. They didn't really understand everything there was to know about Jesus, and I know that we don't understand that either, but we have the end of the story. We know that he rises again from the dead, and he does pour out the Holy Spirit just as he promised. Jesus refuses to give up on us. He emptied himself of all glory, honor, and privilege to become one of us in the likeness of Adam. So that not only would he suffer for us, he would suffer with us as one of us. So that he could give us strength in our time of need through the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this is the promise that God gave the disciples. Did he not? I can't imagine. I mean, I love Jesus. I can't imagine looking at him being nailed to the cross because of me. Because I'm sure I would have done exactly what the disciples did, and I would have totally abandoned Jesus and been selfish and tried to save my own life. And as we go further through that, that's exactly what happened. As Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, every single one of them ran. It wasn't only Peter that denied Jesus, it was all of them. Because they were afraid. They heard the promises of Jesus. They didn't have the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit yet, but you know what? We do. And the same God that made provision for these 11 disciples is the same God that's going to make provision for this church. Oh, I hope you know that. Heidi and I were going through the records the other day, and do you realize how quickly God brings pastors to this church? From the first pastor, Brian, to the second one, Mark, it was 3 months. From Mark until Steve, it was 4 months, and the longest period was between Steve and me, because God was still dealing with me. And quite frankly, in the 9 months between Steve and me, God needed to do something here, and he did. Many people stepped up into leadership and became the leader that God called them to be. And no, it's not just me that's proud of you guys for doing that. These men walked with Christ for about 3 years or so. And it's funny, I remember reading a commentary about this section where it was entitled, Christ Comforts His Disciples, and I'm like, really? They're going to, oh, when they kill you and throw you out of the synagogues, I don't see that as comfort. Be glad that you're not the disciples. But you know what? These 11 ordinary men, these farmers, these fishermen, these sinners, were given provision through the power of God by means of the Holy Spirit. Jesus never left them. He never forsook them. He fulfilled every single promise that he gave them. And he not only did it for the disciples, but you know what? He did it so that the disciples could become apostles, write the New Testament, and so he did this for you and for me. Do you see the great God that we serve? Who makes provision A God who sees all. He knew that the disciples weren't ready to hear everything. And that's why Jesus said, that's why I didn't tell you everything all at once. Because quite frankly, if someone told me everything all at once, and as I had my encounter with Christ at the age of 24, if someone said you would be called to be a pastor and you'd be preaching in Arlington, South Dakota, I would just said, man, what were you smoking? Did you have a pot blessing that day or something? Or I'm telling you, there was just no way I would have ever guessed. And Connie, would you? I mean, she married a fixer-upper. I'm telling you, I was her missionary field. But more than anyone in my life, she has seen what God has done in my life. And I know he's not done, and to that I'm sure she says hallelujah. But I'm not the same person I used to be. Because I was a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old had passed away. The new has come. And this is the part that the disciples get to experience. But Christ was unwilling to leave them hanging, to leave them without provision. And he speaks to them as only Jesus can. And I love Christ because he's honest. Does he hide anything from them? Like, guys, this is going to be tough. You're going to lose your lives. But even though you're going to experience this hatred that was once focused on me, that hatred will be taken off of Christ and put on those who follow Christ. And we see this in the world, don't we? Those who truly follow Christ, the hatred we see in the Middle East, the beheading of those who call on the name of Christ. In America, we have it pretty easy. But God refused to leave them on their own. And so even though they were departing, what Christ said was true. It's better that I go. And another scripture says, you should rejoice at my departing because now the promise of the Father will come on you. And I'm going to quote Larry Groen here. As he found out that I was leaving as the vice president of this congregation, he said, I'm excited to see what God's going to do. And that's the response. Because God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He has made provision for you. And even though it's been an extreme privilege to be a part of the growth here at Calvary, spiritually and physically, know that it had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with Christ, because apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. It is Christ who brought the growth. It is Christ who has made provision for your next under-shepherd. She's prophesying over here. I'm telling you, there was one day that I said that too. I got on the floor. I'm like, no. Ask my wife. It's been a roller coaster. And there's days Connie just like, just go away, you know. But she's gone through it too. It's hard. It's difficult. But as much as it has been a privilege and blessing to be here, and I wouldn't change a thing, I refuse to stand before God, my Savior and Lord, and answer the question, why didn't you obey me? I can't do it. I can't do it. Because not only am I disobeying Christ, the Lord who saved me, if I don't go, I then have to answer for this congregation and the other one. And I am unwilling to do that. And so with incredible sadness, which I hope you can see, I am called. But God has made provision for not only my family and for me, he has made provision for this church and for each and every one of you. And this, as your shepherd, I'm still here, so I'm still your shepherd. Rise to the challenge. don't take this lane down. Don't feel like, oh, this church stole me from you. As I shared with the leadership of this congregation, we belong to a denomination that is one big family, and if one family is in need, the other family should gladly give what the other family needs. Amen? Maybe with sadness, but with all joy and fear and trembling, obeying the great God we serve, who has provided the means for us to be saved through the work of these disciples, these ordinary men, through the living word of God, which these disciples who became apostles wrote, and through the power of the Holy Spirit who preserved this word for you and for me. Can anybody say amen? And so I didn't give my first point, but it basically was, if you got to fill the blanks in, I understand. Christ prepares his disciples for his departure. The next point that we see in our text is that Christ reveals the Holy Spirit's work toward the non-believing world. Christ reveals the Holy Spirit, the Spirit's work before toward the non-believing world. I'm going to begin in verse 7 here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father. And you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is not judged. And so I'm going to kind of go by what I've written here, but I want to apply it to our situation. Can I do that? Give me some grace here. And so look at these three things that the Holy Spirit's going to do. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. As I was called here to Calvary Free Lutheran Church, and I'd like to ask some of those who have been here, and you can answer it out loud, did I ever withhold any part of the gospel from you, including hell? Did I ever withhold any part of the gospel from this congregation? Thank you. And that's through the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit, because God lets us know what's to come. God makes sure that we understand that there is consequences to our response in the power of God's grace, or lack of response in the power of God's grace. And so through the Holy Spirit, God called me to be a pastor to this congregation. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God called these hand-chosen disciples to be the apostles that Christ would build his church. And did he fail in that? No. Hallelujah. What did Christ say? The gates of hell will not prevail against this. Can anybody say amen? But do you believe that? Do we believe it? I hope so. Because it's easy to get discouraged. We watch the news and we watch people making poor choices all around us, don't we? We see people walking and throwing away their faith. We see people complacent with the message of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we see others willfully reject Jesus, just as the religious leaders did. And so as the Holy Spirit is poured out on the day of Pentecost, and Peter, this fisherman, this ordinary fisherman, this impetuous man that didn't understand the gospel when he was called, stood up in the power of the Holy Spirit and called these people to repentance. Some of these same people that rejected Christ. Because God is a God who longs to reveal himself, and he longs to save. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 2 quick, to verse 32. Concerning sin, concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment. Sin because we are sinners. We're born into sin, correct? Each one of us is born in need of a Savior like Jesus. Concerning righteousness because they did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Because Jesus said, according to righteousness, because I'm going to the right hand of the Father. No one can be at the right hand of the Father except the Son, who is God. Jesus is God, the second person of the Trinity, who emptied himself and became nothing in order to save us. But Peter, as he's preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit, this fisherman that didn't know a thing about being a preacher, a leader of the church, didn't know anything at all. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, he preaches this amazing sermon, and this is what he says, beginning in verse 32. This Jesus God raised up. And of that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. He has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. And then as we jump down, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him, Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, God gave these people who killed Christ a second chance. The gentle persistence of the loving Heavenly Father that we serve. Unwilling to give up on them and us. And in the power of God's provision, the power of the Holy Spirit poured out, Peter, through God's grace, gave Israel another opportunity to repent over sending Jesus, the Son of God, to the cross. And so Peter kind of covered both things that Jesus spoke about, according to sin and according to righteousness. But the thing that really encourages me the most is the judgment part. Because the judgment comes upon Satan and his demons. And I'm glad for that. Because it's Christ who won the victory. Through his life, death, and resurrection, he defeated the enemy of this world, the prince of this world, the prince and the power that has the power in the air, the person who has brought death, sickness, cancer, and tragedy into this world. God didn't bring those things in. Satan did. And aren't you glad through the victory in Christ Jesus, Satan is judged and found guilty of crimes against humanity and crimes against the triune God of all creation? And when Jesus comes again with glory to judge the living and the dead, he will send Satan and his demons into a special place that he has prepared for them for all eternity. Can anybody say amen? And death will be no more, no more sin, no more pain. We will only live gloriously in the presence of the triune God. And to that I say amen. Even though we walk in a world that is infected with sin and feeling the effects of Satan, as the writer of Hebrews talks about, one day, just as God has promised, all of that will be eradicated from the believer in Christ Jesus for all eternity. Can anybody say amen? The final thing that we see in our text is that Christ reveals the Holy Spirit's work toward believers. And this is the part I want you to really pay attention to. Christ reveals the Holy Spirit's work toward believers, beginning in verse 12. I still have many things to say to you. And that's how I feel. I just feel like I'm not done yet. But it's not my work. It's God's work. And I had to surrender that to the Lord. In my selfishness, I want to be the one to tell you. In my selfishness, I want to be the one to see your children grow up and confirm every single child that I baptized. And in my own selfishness, I want to stay. But Christ understands what I'm going through. And as you place yourself in this text, hear the promises of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Please. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The real comfort in this text for the disciples is the supernatural provision that God has sent for the apostles. Through the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, these men will fulfill their call to preach the saving gospel of Christ, because all that Christ has accomplished the sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice through his life, death, and resurrection that Jesus participated in as he ascends to the right hand of the Father is accepted as a precious sacrifice and then poured out through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Please note the triune God of creation stated in this text. Also notice how Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit as a specific person who is God. All that the Father has is mine, and all that is mine is the Holy Spirit's. The triune God revealed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal, co-powerful. But these three are one. One triune God of creation who refuses to give up on sinners like you and me. He will declare these things to you. The Holy Spirit's primary ministry will be to declare the work of Christ, to extend to the believer the righteousness of Christ, because apart from Christ, we can do nothing. And so as someone is baptized and continues in the faith of their baptism or calls on the name of Christ for the salvation of their soul, you are clothed in Christ's righteousness through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's declared to you in a very personal, in a very real way. Amen. Jesus says, when the Spirit comes, he will come to guide you in all truth. This is the fourth time in John's Gospel that Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. And repetition is a very important thing in Scripture. But it's also the third time he calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. Because Jesus, as he stood before Pilate, claimed to Pilate, I came to bear witness about the truth. Because God is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through Christ because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God. Notice the Trinitarian formula in salvation. And I love this because we serve a miraculous God that we totally don't understand. But as we describe this triune God of all creation, he continues to reveal himself through to us through the work and in person of Christ because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit according to the Father's will. And so here the triune God is revealed by Christ in the work of salvation. God the Father is the source and the initiator of salvation. Jesus the Son accomplishes all that is needed and required to fulfill that salvation. And through the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit, that salvation and the righteousness of Jesus Christ is extended to the believer to empower you to become the person God has called you to be. To empower these disciples to become apostles and fulfill their call. And so, what does this all mean for you? What's the so what of all of this text? What is the part that I would love for each and every one of you to take and to just brand on your heart? That first and foremost, the same God that provided the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit to the disciples is the same God we serve today. Amen? He is no different. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And he's already made provision for you. And there are some people that are sitting right here and right now that are being called into leadership that have never been called before. And I'm just going to let that one sink in a little bit. There are people sitting in this congregation right here, right now, that God is speaking to you and calling you to walk in leadership even though you never have before. Some of you might think, I'm too young. I'm too young in the faith. I'm sure the disciples said the same thing. God does not call the equipped. God equips the called. Do you understand? He doesn't look for the most talented people. He certainly didn't do that with the disciples. He certainly didn't look for the most righteous people because he chose Matthew, a sinner who participated in gross acts of sexual immorality. He's looking for willing and humble servants who will bow their knee to Christ and surrender to Him. That's the only qualification. Will you surrender to Christ's will? And so some of you are being called right now to become leaders in this time of transition. Leaders that will step up and become the people that God has called you to be. To come alongside one another when someone is hurting in the midst of this transition. When someone goes into the hospital, I'll go and visit them. I know Pastor isn't here and we don't have a pastor yet. I'll go visit them. I'll send them a card that I'm thinking about praying for them. I'll encourage this couple who stopped coming. I'll go visit them and ask them to come back. I'll be the one. And the final thing that I want you to all walk away with is this. Don't underestimate what God can do through you. Do not underestimate what God can do through you. I did. I greatly had a huge misunderstanding about ministry. I thought it was me and my strength and what I knew and what I didn't know. And I'm thankful it's not. As God called me and I bowed my knee to His will, He equipped me to be the pastor that He wants me to become. And I'm glad that that process isn't over. And it will never end until the day I die. And so some of you might even be thinking, well, I'm too old to do this now. I'm sure Abraham thought the same thing. But look what God did through him. Please do not take for granted the power of the Holy Spirit working through you in the midst of this transition and in the midst of your ministry to your community and to your family. Because the same God that provided the Holy Word of God and preserved it through the power of the Spirit is the same God that we serve today. Amen. Pray with me. Lord, I thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Because Christ, you are truth. I pray more than anything that the work that you began in this congregation would never stop. I pray that you would raise up faithful people to continue the work that you have called this congregation to. And that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would equip every single person under the sound of my voice, even those visiting, to fulfill the call that you have placed on their life. This is my prayer. May it be yours as well. I thank you and I praise you for this time, Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.